This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Three things to pray about as we make our journey through the season of Lent, ending in the bright sunlight of Easter morning. 1. This world is not all there is. God is up to something greater than we can imagine. 2. As Jesus was raised from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, the first Christians realized that another world from beyond the grave beckoned to them. 3. Jesus reaches out to all who have wandered from the presence of God. These lessons should unnerve us, change us, and set us on fire. As we celebrate the message of an empty tomb on Easter morning, this is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to join us in our journey this Lenten season.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Monday, Thursday, April 14th, 2022. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Our gracious and loving God, we come to you this evening, a somber time, a time when we remember the Last Supper, when we remember how our Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our Redeemer sat down with his friends and broke bread, lifted the cup, washed their feet, and gave them and us a new commandment. And Father, it is by your Son's love, grace, and mercy, your plan and purpose, that we can come and bow our hearts before you. And Father, we bring the needs of our lives, our hopes, our families, as we lift them before you this Monday, Thursday. We lift them knowing that you always hear our prayers. We lift them knowing that in your grace, you always answer our prayers. So, Father, give us peace with how you answer them. And, Father, let us know that your will and your ways are far above ours, and we'll never understand them on this side of heaven's gate. So, Father, let us truly trust in you. Father, we do pray for Pat and David. We pray for our community and the world around us. We pray for the ravages and victims of war. We pray for those who would make war. Father, we would pray that the words of the prophet Isaiah would ring as we would come to the mountain of Zion and learn war no more. Father, we pray for those who are stressed, who are worried about things, who are going through trials and tribulations, testing. Father, we pray for those who stand for you, who wave the banner, who share the word. Father, we pray for you that in small places, in darkened places, that somebody is whispering your name, looking up to you for redemption and salvation. Or maybe it is in the middle of a crowded place when they feel your tug upon their heart. However it may be, for those who hear your call, Father, we would pray that they would answer, and that they would come to know you as their Lord and their Savior, their friend. Father, be with us as we take this time together, as we remember. Father, it isn't that we celebrate. So, Father, help us to remember that's what you called us to do. For all the needs in our hearts and lives, we trust them to you. And now we'd pray that you hear us as we pray together as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
And now would you please join together in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, we gather this evening hour as friends gathered with Jesus in an upper room long ago. We come bearing the marks of a bitter and broken world. We come from anonymous places with dry and thirsty spirits. Remind us in the breaking of the bread of our need and of sufficiency. Refresh us and make us whole with a cup of forgiveness. Draw us nearer to each other in mutual service and closer to you in the covenant of faithfulness and thanksgiving. As the night advances, deepen in us a sense of your steadfast love for us in Jesus Christ, our friend and Redeemer. Amen.
We're sharing from the Gospel of John this evening, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 and 31 through 35. Hear this reading from the Gospel according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Judas has left the room. Verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's a moment of truth. How many of you have friends? Really? Friends. Now, I'm talking about friends, not acquaintances, not people you bump into or work with sometimes. Sometimes they don't work, you know. They just come and hang out with you. But I'm talking about friends. That person who accepts you as you are. That person who doesn't judge you. That person who doesn't correct you. That person that likes you warts and all. That person with a phone call shows up. That person without being called senses something's wrong and gives you a call. Is your list getting a little smaller? That person that you know your deepest, darkest secret is safe and won't be held against you. That person who will never betray your confidence. That person that you know loves you for who you are. And that, and vice versa, you love the same. How's your list? My grandfather was far wiser than I thought he was when I was young. Isn't that the way it works? Old people are dumb. They just don't get it. But they got it more. And that's why I got older, I figured out. My grandpa said, son, you will be blessed beyond your years to have a long life and have 5 good friends and 2 good dogs. I've had 1 good dog and 3 good friends. Not that I'm keeping score. So how's your list? Think about it. In our society today, everybody's our friend. Have you noticed that? And it's really funny because it's on social media, you get a friend request. I get friend requests from people I ain't never seen before. I mean, that's my friend. I got a friend. Folks say some people you don't need to know and tell is your friend. You shouldn't. I mean, right? How many of you have relatives that you don't even know? I mean, you know them, but you don't let anybody know. Don't you have those that show up at the family reunions and everybody kind of moves over? So you're the person? Me too. And once I became a pastor, I can't go into the whole history. I felt like Moses. Well, I go to a family reunion. I part the water. My family's rough, and that's just the way it is. But friends are not a dime a dozen. Acquaintances are. Flybys, followers, tags, ticks, suckers, blood suckers. They're a dime a dozen. Sunshine friends. How many of you had friends when you had gas in your car? Huh? Had them, yeah. You know, as long as my old car was running, they was around. If my old car wasn't running, they didn't show up. You know, just the way it was. How many of you, you know, we're in Wyoming. And back when I was growing up, in the mountains, everybody had guns, you know, just the way it was. And if you had a pocket full of shotgun shells, you had plenty of people wanting to shoot guns with you. As long as they were shooting your stuff. You know, it's just the way it was. We have fair weather friends. Yeah, they're there as long as the sun's shining and the breeze is blowing, but let the snow fly and the hard wind strike, and where are they? The only time you hear from some people is when they want something, need something, or you're the only person left on the list. You know, that's just the way it is. But friends. Jesus calls his disciples friends. I no longer call you, but I call you friends. Friends. And even the 12 he chose, one wasn't so much a friend. The other ones would deny him. They'd desert him in his hour of need. They wouldn't stand up and witness for him. They would go hide in that upper room, afraid. But he said that's the way it would be, and I guess it needed to be. He here is instituting his commandments. And I didn't read all about the Lord's Supper where he says, take this bread and break it, eat it, share it in remembrance of me. Where he says, take this cup and share it and do it as often as you will in remembrance of me. We'll do that in a little bit. But he says to them, I'm going to wash your feet. How many of you like feet? Not me. They're weird. Baby feet are all right. Those little toes are chewable. You know, that's just the way it is. And baby hands and baby feet are just so cute. And ears. Baby ears are always cute too. Well, babies are cute, I guess. Then they grow up. You know, it just happens. But you know, it's just weird. Probably not in the day of Jesus. Remember, I told you this a couple weeks ago, they threw their urine out in the street and the feces and dirty water, and you walked in that all day. All day. And folks, you need to know, they didn't have snow seal. They didn't have membranes of all kinds, different kinds. You know, they hadn't come out with Gore-Tex boots and rubber covers. At the best, they had open-toe sandals. I guess they could have wore sandals with socks, but you know, that's probably never really been in style. So, I keep telling you the first time Dr. Gold, who is one of my friends, one of my three, he came in his office one day and he had on sandals with socks. And I looked at him and I said, Doc, you can't be my friend. He said, well, I sure don't want nobody seeing these ugly feet. So I guess there was a reason. But they would come in and the host of the house would have a servant that's whole job was to take care of their feet. And they would wash them from just below the knees down, dry their feet, and then they could come in the house. That's where we get our tradition of take off your shoes when you come in the house. That's where that comes from. Jesus is taking the role of a servant. And he's washing the feet of his disciples. And it is not a secret what he's doing. And he says to them, do you know what I just did for you? Washed our feet? Yes. You're not better than me. You said that I'm Lord. You said that I'm teacher. I'm thy master. Yes, I'm all of those things. That's true. But you're not better than me, for the servant isn't better than the master. The messenger isn't better than the message sender. So he gives us this example. An example of humility. An example of grace. Love your neighbor isn't a new concept in the Bible. Love your neighbor, love yourself. Remember that when they ask about this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. It was taught in Jewish history. It was taught in Jewish law. It was taught through the Torah and the Mishpat. It was taught that you should love one another. To love one another was to obey God. So this concept of loving one another isn't new. But what the concept was to love them as Christ would love them. He even loved Judas, the betrayer. And he gives them the example. You see, Jesus differed from any other religious icon in the world. Did it by example. He did it by example. Look what I did. Now remember, if I've done this for you, you should do this for each other. Example. Sacrificial love. That's what's different. You see, love is fine when it's easy. But love gets tough when somebody don't do what you think they should. Love gets tough when they're not following your ideals and rules. Love is tough when they mess up and fly the wrong way. Loving someone despite their faults and failures. You see, we're called to love one another. We don't have to love sin. Now, don't go hugging up to sin. That's kind of not what Jesus wants you to do. You need to love people enough to challenge them out of the mess, not love them into it. So, folks, one of the worst things we can do as Christians is enable people to continue with bad behavior. Challenge them. Call them on it out of love. If you love them and they know you love them, they will hear your words. They won't hear them as judgment, but as encouragement, as a challenge, because they know if you love them, you will not only wash their feet, you'll dry their feet, and you'll tell them why you did it. You don't just say, you need to straighten your act out. No, you'll say, let me help you with that. You see, real love will cost you skin. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you teardrops. It'll cause you sometimes to even pound your fist. I wish I hadn't had anything to do with them. But you already know that, don't you? Because I brought you down your list, didn't I? I showed you that list, how small it got. You see, typically it's me, mine, four, and no more. That's our circle. It's about what it gets out to. But he calls us to live in sacrificial love. That's radically different. Loving because it's the right thing to do and tolerating somebody until they're out of your sight is one thing. Do you remember Lazarus? Anybody? You remember the old boy died, remember? And he was in the grave 4 days. And Jesus went over there to get him out, you know. And they said, he said, roll the stone back. They said, oh, no way. He stinks. He's been dead 4 days in a desert, hot temperatures. Can only imagine. Only imagine. And Jesus said, no, you roll that stone back. But you remember the whole story. He called Lazarus, and Lazarus comes out of the grave, bound hand and foot. Do you remember what Jesus told them they needed to do? In Jewish custom, touching the dead was really a bad thing. You couldn't go to temple for weeks. You had to go wash in pools and do all this stuff and go to the priest. You couldn't touch dead people. What did Jesus say to them? I gave him life, but I want you to go unwrap him. I want you to go get your hands dirty. I want you to take the stench of death off of him. I want you to help him really live. He can't live wrapped up in that stuff. You got to get him loose. Now, I want you to think about something. Just for a minute. Do you know what the process was of putting that cloth on him? It was coated with adhesive. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want a full body wax. That's what old Lazarus got. Can you imagine the smell and stench? But oh, can you imagine? New skin. New man. New life. But Lazarus would die again. You see, Christ offers eternal life. Faith and hope in him. Considers us his friends. And he calls us to love as we have been loved. Did you notice that? And my commandment I give you, that you should underline this, love one another, even as I have loved you, you should love one another. Do you see that next sentence? Do you see that next sentence? By this alone they'll know you are mine. That is who we should be, not what we do. It's to love sacrificially, willing to get our hands dirty, willing to put some skin in the game, not to judge, try to understand. Try to walk with them. Preacher, that's impossible. Jesus said, I'm with you always. And he said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to help you do all things. And the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:13. How many of you remember what it says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He doesn't call us to do the impossible. He calls us to let God do the impossible through us. Did you get that? He doesn't call us to do the impossible. He calls us to let God do the impossible through us so the world will know that it's something only God can do. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, it's a tall order. Loving, getting our hands dirty. Father, it's a tall order to have a servant's love, one that is filled with gratitude, a love that is filled with thankfulness, and a love that isn't self-serving, but a love willing to go the extra mile. Father, help us to have that love that our world, our families, and our communities so deeply need. Help us to be examples of that love in the world around us. Father, it doesn't mean that we allow anything to go far from it. For you loved us enough to send your Son, but your Son taught us to love one another but not love the sin. Over and over, your Son told them, go and sin no more. You have been healed. You've been made whole. Go and sin no more. Father, help us to be seen as your disciples by the love we have for one another. We know it is difficult. We know it is not easy, and it calls us to take some bumps and bruises. And Father, we're going to resist that at times. But let us humble ourselves before you and seek you. Seek your grace and seek your mercy. Let us turn to your Holy Spirit in all things at all times so that you may work in us to do that which we cannot do so that the world knows it's you at work. May we love one another as you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go with God. Go to love. Go to trust. Go to let the Holy Spirit guide you, empower you, and sustain you. And truly, may the peace of God that surpasses our understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. Amen. Thank you.
listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.